Let's open up our Bibles tonight. Luke chapter 8. The reason we sing the songs is to get in the Spirit, to know that we're in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Aren't you glad to know Him?
Amen.
Amen. He's not dead, He's risen again.
Amen.
He's alive forevermore. Praise His name tonight. Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 8, verse 22. Let's get right into the Word tonight. I still want to speak on the mysteries of the kingdom. Now it came to pass on a certain day that He went into a ship with His disciples. He said unto them, "Let us go over unto the other side of the lake." And they launched forth. But as they sailed, He fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to Him and awoke Him, saying, "Master, Master, we perish." And He arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the waters, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And He said unto them, "Where is your faith?" And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, "What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and water, and they obey Him." I'd like to speak on tonight, with the help of the Lord, the mystery of power. The mystery of power. Let's bow before Him. Hallelujah. As we approach His Word, let's come with a heart full of faith. If you have requests, as you've already been lifting them, just lift those to the Lord. And let's invite Him just to have His way in the speaking of the Word today. Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, for gathering the saints together. Lord, it's such a privilege to be in Your presence. It's such an honor, Lord, that You've called us out of Laodicea. You've called us out of all this muck to come to the greatest place we could be, Lord. That's not this church. It's heavenly places in Christ. Lord, the place where we have peace and we have love and we have joy. We have what the world's thirsting after, Lord, and we've got it so much our cups run over, Father. Thank You for it, Lord. Thank You for Your presence here tonight. And I pray You just sweep through this congregation. Lord, You'd go right through every heart that's here, that You'd just take out any of the trash of the world, Father. And may we just stand before You perfect by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony, trusting in what You've done for us. We pray that the Holy Spirit will come, heal every sickness, save every lost, fill every empty, Lord. And Lord, I pray You'd hear every heart's cry tonight. And Lord, may Your angels be attentive to it and work on it, Lord, as they're ministers to the saints. Grant it, Lord, tonight we pray. We lift the service up to You. Say, Lord, have Your way. Speak, Lord, tonight we pray. We love You, Father. We love You with all of our hearts. We thank You for already being here. Take control now, we ask in Jesus Christ's name. Amen, amen. You may be seated tonight. Thank the Lord. Next month here in April, Lord willing, I don't know if everybody knows, most of y'all do, but we're going to have a ministry we haven't had at this church before, and Brother Craig Boer from Lima. I talked to him not too long ago, and he's going to be coming next month, right around, I think, the 17th. So other than that, I don't know. We'll see if I decide another service, maybe have Brother Alexander or something come. Kind of just depends on how this week goes, brother, sister, because I've got spring break coming up. I got Good Friday off, and pray for your pastor because I need it. I'm going to say that right now. I know the Lord's already been working on it. I got to take a break, and I'm glad it's coming. So we'll see how next week plays if I want to take another service, the Lord being my helper. But I've also learned, just like the prophet had to, you have to have wisdom. You have to know when God tells you to rest and to relax and not just get lazy, but just to let the Lord fill you back up some. So pray for me. I know most of y'all say, "Man, I wish I had a week off." I understand, but it's tough. You know, people think that I preach part-time, but you don't. It's full-time. It really is. It's more full-time than at the high school, to be honest with you, because usually half-time I'm there, I'm not thinking about it. I'm thinking about what I'm preaching next, or I'm thinking about who I got to call, or who can I email now, or what can I print off this? Can I do this? I still get my job done by the help of the Lord, but a lot of people have their thoughts on that. But it's not, there's really no such thing as a part-time minister. And some people have ideas about that, and, you know, well, I only preach once a year, you know, I'm just a help. Well, brother, you might want to pray, because if God's got a call in your life, He wants to use it. I don't think You know, I don't know. I hope that's not too presumptuous, but a man of God behind the pulpit, that's an office that needs to be used. And Brother Branham said we need more of them. You know, they even tried to start the idea that, well, it's the end time and who's ever coming's coming. And we got people with that idea now. It's we're already in the ark and, you know, our door's already shut. They're all going to die anyways. So don't worry about preaching. They tried to do it in Brother Branham's day. And what did he say? He said, no. Where did you ever get such a thought like that? He said, get out there. That's right. He said, we really, Christian, don't just put on a minister either. We need children of God getting out there and to witnessing of the things of God and telling people of the goodness of Christ. And you say, well, I'm going to get rejected. Yeah, you will.
Yeah.
A lot. But look, aren't you glad somebody persisted till you came back?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. I told a little story before. I'll just tell it again. I heard this once. And little boys walking down the shore on the beach, and a big storm had come through and pushed all these, you know, I call them starfish. I don't know. They got some word for them now. But like all up on the shore. Just hundreds, thousands of them out there. Little boy starts walking, and every once in a while, he grab one and throw it in the ocean. And he walk a little bit further, grab one, throw it over in the ocean. And then the old man came up to him and said, son, you know, why are you even bothering? You're only, you know, look how many is out here. They're all going to die. And why are you wasting your time? How are you going to help them? He said, well, this one will appreciate it. Jesus said it this way, one soul's worth 10,000 worlds, brother, sister. And I know it's the heart's, you know, it's always thirsting on the inside of a believer just to see someone get saved, see someone that really gets the Holy Ghost, just really. Not babying them, not pushing them in, not pulling them and everything else, but really they just want the Lord and God comes on the scene. That's right. That's what the Christian's looking for. And I think until it's over, I guess if you wake up and grandma's in the house and the resurrection's on, well, there you go. I guess we're in the ark ready to transfer over. But last I checked, that ain't happened yet. So we'll work till Jesus comes. Amen. All right, that was all free. Praise the Lord. Well, I like to speak on this. Really just came to me strong. The mystery of power. You know, power is such a word that it really, a lot of people define it just by what they think power is. And usually if you've got a man that's powerful, well, it'll be in one of two realms. It'll be, you know, in maybe politics or intellect. He's just got a way with his words and it can just sway masses. And you'll say, man, that man's mighty powerful. Or it'll be another man who's got arms as big as my legs and can pick up a car and throw it across the room. And we'll think, man, that guy's got power. But then when you go to start looking at Jesus and the creator of the universe, as we sang there a little bit ago, and my, how that brought memories. I don't know, Brother Kent, back to old Fishmar. We used to sing that song all the time. Oh, how I love him, how I adore him. Man, it just ringed in my heart true. I love when you get those songs that you just have memorized because you sang it so many times. And I don't know, it just really did me justice. But that creator, the Almighty, you know, we think of big and we think of powerful, but this man, this person that we talk of called God, was before anything. He's the greatest there ever is, and you can't even wrap your mind around it. That you can pick any number, I don't care. He's beyond that. You can think of any strength, he's beyond that. You can think of what's great and what's huge. He's beyond any comprehension of any of those things. Yet when this great creator became our Savior, he preached so soft. You didn't hear him in the street. So, of course, we all got to be like Jesus and get all stuck up and say, well, if you raise your voice, you know. No, last I checked, he's Papa. I'm the child. I scream and holler and everything else. Lord, I need help. Help me, Lord, help me. That's right. He's the one who comes and calms the storms. That's right. Amen. Don't, you know, we talk about oneness with God and things like that, but don't you never forget, he's your Savior. You didn't save yourselves. You there ain't nothing good about us but what he said was good about us. Amen. Thank the Lord for that. But the world's got its definition of powerful, and I'm going to tell you right now, Jesus don't fit the bill. A man that you can't, he's not even forceful speaker, you know. There was only one time they even appreciated what he said until he got to the end of his sermon. And then he rebuked him and said, this day your scripture is fulfilled before you. And they were waiting for lightning bolts and everything else going off. And nothing happened. They said, get out of here, man. That's right. They kicked him out. That's right. And they think, well, what kind of powerful man can't even hold his home congregation? What kind of powerful man lets everybody spit on him, make fun of him, push him around pillar to post? What kind of powerful man would allow that to happen? Not knowing the whole time that the creator of everyone else was in that man.
Amen.
Oh, glory to God. So no matter what we say or do, brother, sister, if the world thinks it, they're wrong. When the world thinks something, brother, you can take it to the bank. Do the exact opposite.
Amen.
That's right. When you watch everybody getting all nervous and all worked up about everything else, just head the opposite direction, right back to Christ. Say, it's okay, boys. I don't need to worry about this. You say, well, the ship's a rocking. Yeah, but Jesus is in my ship. I don't know about you. But he calmed the storm back then. He'll do it again today.
Amen.
You say, where is he, brother? I pack him.
Amen.
Lives in my soul. I don't have to go find Jesus. He lives in me.
Amen.
That's right. Praise the Lord. Now the definition of powerful for the world is always going to make the Christian look weak, feeble, pushover. That's right. And let's read some scriptures here tonight out of the Bible. Luke 22. And this don't affect, look, I'm bringing it to the believers tonight. We get these ideas of powerful. We get these ideas of mountaintop faith and all these things. And we mess the whole program up. We get all carnal because we look at the world and the way they do things. Come on now. And let's watch the disciples when they got alone, how they got in trouble just like everybody else that leaves Jesus. I don't care if Jesus called you. You get away without him, you're going to get in trouble. That's right. You're going to think you're being spiritual and you're being carnal as all carnal can be. And here are disciples thinking they're having a good, deep theological discussion about the millennium and when it is and how many corn husks are going to be in their yard and all that stuff that people like to talk about in the message. That's about what it sounds like to God. I'm going to tell you that right now. Luke 22:24. And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. Like I said, just take it to the bank. He's saying in the world, when the Gentiles have rulers, they're known for being the rulers because these other people come and they do everything they say. They wash their feet. They tend to every need that they have. And they can just sit back on the couch and not worry about nothing because they've got real power. They're really strong because they can sway masses. But what did he tell them? But among you, don't let it be so. Ooh, brother, sister, I don't know. I think we might have let this creep in. Because a lot of you might not have thought of the world. You might have thought of a minister that does those kind of things. Well, maybe not, but that's the truth anyhow. Well, you come and pamper their feet. Man, you better have a good comment. Don't matter what they preach, how far off the word, don't matter. Don't say nothing against it. Because remember, you can't live no higher than your pastor, so there ain't no way you know no better than the pastor does. Pastor's off the word, pastor's wrong. What about those quotes? I don't care what your pastor says. What's the word say? That's the message to you, brother, sister. We got to stop. We think of Brother Branham when the great Ministerial Association of Chicago came after him. We say, oh yeah, the God told him it was a trap from the devil, from ministers. But we think, oh, they're message ministers. So they get a special treatment if they do that. You need to respect the office. I would if he stayed with the word.
Amen.
Said they said the elders deserve honor. He said, and those that labor in the word deserve double honor. That are faithful in the word.
Amen.
How can you give them double honor? They ain't in the word.
Right.
This is all kinds of directions, Brother Ken. I don't know, but that's all right. It's the truth anyhow. Every man's accountable to the word of God. We'll get to that here in a little bit. But he says, among you, he says, this shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger. Oh my. And he that is chief, as he that doth serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? It's not he that sitteth at meat, but I'm among you as he that serveth. So as we just talked about, the world say, oh my, if he's the king, well, of course, you ought to just do everything you can for him. You ought to lay out the biggest table and give him the best meal and everything else. And if he was a real man of power, he'd sit back and say, oh, that's mighty good. But that ain't a real man. That's not a man with real character. That's not a man with real power. I'll get to that in a little bit. I guess we'll just go for it. A real man with power says, even though I know I have a greater position, maybe politically or even spiritually or whatever you want to say, because we understand that the fivefold ministry are gifts. We got that. It keeps order in the church, sure. But it's not hierarchy like the world. Because if you are greater and you are a real servant of God, and I like to tell a lot of people, if you really are all that you are, then why don't you care about someone else?
Amen.
Well, I do this, I do that, all that, and they don't even come visit me. When's the last time you went visit them?
Right.
Nobody ever calls me. Boo-hoo, boo-hoo. When'd you call anybody?
Right.
Nobody loves me. Who do you love?
Amen.
Amen. And if you're going to be a big shot, well, then go ahead. Put up or shut up. Say, no, you can't go that far. That's what Paul had to do one time. There's a bunch of Corinthians. You're all puffed up. Everyone's got a revelation. And you're better than the next guy. And here we are at the Lord's table getting drunk. And we got people out there in the church that got needs. And you done wasted all that on this wine you got drunk on. We're in his excess. Better not bring up food. Found out hard way. People don't like hearing that, but it's still wrong. That's right. They called Jesus a glutton and a wine bibber. I don't think they were complimenting him.
That's right.
That's right. But he that's the greatest, he's the one that can humble himself the most. And that, brother, sister, if you have any faith in your flesh, you will not apply that principle. There ain't no way. Brother Branham said it this way. He said, God is so humble, man just can't get down there.
Amen.
He said, just about the time he gets close, he starts thinking something good and saying something good about himself to get himself back up again. Because he just can't get down that humble. That's why we need the Holy Ghost. That's right. Let's turn to Matthew 18 now. And I'm not sure which one of these stories happened first, but maybe the first time they didn't think that Jesus heard their conversation and said, well, we might as well go ahead and ask him, you know, specifically what we were talking about. Because Matthew 18:1 says this. Instead of the disciples talking about it, they decided to ask Jesus. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them. And he said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, not only are you not the greatest, but you shall not even enter the kingdom of heaven. So this ain't extra credit to be humble. This is just the requirement.
Amen.
Amen. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name, receiveth me. I'll just stop there. Why? Because he's showing you. If you, we say, be like Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. Well, then do it.
Right.
He said, if you can humble yourself like I am, and I'm sitting here blessing children that you try to kick out of the church.
Yeah, right.
They said, oh, that's just the little ones. Really? How about the ones that just came to Christ?
Amen.
You ain't got this revelation yet?
Right.
Why don't you humble yourself and help them out? Well, I just don't understand. I don't know how they can't see this. There's plenty of things I never understand. I can't understand people. I can't understand me. That's right. Sometimes I do something, look at myself and say, you are the dumbest guy in the world. And I realize, yeah, that's right. Andrew Kressel, dumbest man. I hate that guy. He's stupid. He never can figure this out. Anytime God starts blessing, here come the, he just go ahead and get all proud about it, act like he had something to do with it. Then watch it all fall apart and say, nope, I didn't. Why did I learn that lesson again? Some people on this roller coaster, or not roller coaster, merry-go-round, around and around and around. Look, here's the problem. God don't let you get defeated. So if you're going through the same trial you've been through 30 years, I guess you haven't passed the test yet.
Yeah.
Humble yourself and say, you know what? I failed this for 30 years, but Lord, by your grace.
Yeah.
That's the last time I'm going around on this thing. I'm getting off.
Yeah.
Throw it up. That's right. When you go to serve God, brother, sister, you're going to look like a fool. You're going to look like an idiot. You're going to be made fun of. They're going to say you're a weak, feeble man. You know, you sisters, you just let them men push you all around and make you quit cutting your hair, make you wear dresses like a lady, make you all clean up and everything else, just because we really know what it is. They're just jealous because they don't want no other guys looking at you. Amen. That's how they think in the world. You don't understand this either, but that's the way it is. And then when you tell them, yeah, I'll hug a brother, right? Hugging a sister, and said, oh, you must be homosexual then. See, you got to get ready for this stuff. We got to quit putting on a facade like we don't get this. The world is going to think everything backwards. You're never going to figure it out. You can't convince them. Why? Because the language you speak to them sounds like a barbarian. Just think of making a bunch of grunting noises. That's what you sound like to them. And most people anymore ain't even grown up enough at all to even have a conversation.
Right.
You say, really? Well, look, you might not recognize this, but I've seen it before. It makes perfect sense to me. Little kids, when they come up to you, a lot of times they ain't trying to talk to you. They're not interested in conversation. They're going to talk at you. They got a message because they're a child, and they want to tell somebody so they can feel special, and then they're done. They don't care about your opinion. And I've met plenty of those. If he's three, all right. But when they're 30, 40, 50, I want to grow up, buddy. If you're afraid to hear an opposing side, you're not much of a man or a woman for that matter. You know, even Obama, I finally heard him say something sensible. Oh, man, there are still miracles. But he said it don't matter how Republican or how far right they are or anything else, we shouldn't be afraid to listen. All right. And let's just bring it right on home. I don't care how much they hate this and how much they hate that and how much they say this and they want nothing to do with God. Just give it some time. Maybe you just listening one time, get them to realize that they're, you know, as Brother Branham said, you know, you give a cow enough rope, he'll hang himself. Maybe you get them to think long enough about what they're saying, they'll recognize, yeah, what I'm saying is a bunch of nonsense. This don't make no sense. That's right. Hallelujah. Where's that free tuition coming from anyways? Had to deal with that one here recently. Anyway, let's turn here real quick in the Bible, 1 Corinthians 1. Verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Whew. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Who is the wise? Who is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of the world of God, the world was by wisdom, knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling block. See, it doesn't make any sense. What are you talking about? This ain't the Messiah that we pictured. The Messiah in Isaiah, you know, the forerunner said he'd be throwing mountains around and pushing rivers straight. And then you tell me that's the guy out there eating bugs? That was John the Baptist.
Exactly.
And this Messiah was supposed to have the government on his shoulders. Why is he letting the Romans do whatever they want?
Right.
See? False prophet.
Sure.
Oh, glory to God. And we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, but unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because foolishness, the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty, and the base of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. I'll just stop there, brother, sister. If any time the devil comes and say, man, you ain't very smart, you're foolish, you're the scum of the earth, you're the weakest, say amen, because that's what the Bible said God chose. And I'm happy that I'm chosen by God. Because at the end of the day, I don't care about your opinion. I don't care about Obama's opinion. I don't care about Andrew Kressel's opinion. I want to know what the Word of God said about me. And when I find myself foolish, not just foolish because I'm being dumb, foolish because I'm believing the Word. Foolish because I preach that the cross can take a man's heart and give him peace, joy, and love that no booze, no alcohol, no TV, nothing in the world can ever do. You're saying a man laying down his life and giving away for a completely innocent man laying down his life can do that to another man? Yes, sir, because it's the preaching of the cross. It's the power of God. God was so veiled in there that the devil didn't see him, but yet out of that man came the conqueror. A man who didn't have to tiptoe into hell. He kicked the door right down.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It wasn't 5'3" probably. Little stoop-shouldered man walked right in there. Devil skittered in every direction running away. He did that while he was alive. I can find that here in a minute, but you all know the story. When they came and the devil, he said, Jesus just rebuked him. And he said, stop talking. He told him, he said, hold your peace, devil, and come on out of him.
Amen.
And he said, you know, he flopped around a little bit, but nothing happened to him, and the devil left. And what did everybody do? How did that little man, how did he do that? So you know what they began to do? They began to get carnal minded. We found some sons of Sceva thought they figured it out. They found the gimmick. They thought we can be powerful. And they found out, no, we ain't got nothing. We don't have anything that man had. Because that's why they were so dumbfounded. They said, with power and authority.
Yes.
He tells the devils what to do. Who are you? You're just a man. How can you do that? Because I got that man in me.
Yeah.
The same Holy Ghost that came on Jesus at River Jordan is the same one that baptized me at my bedside. That's right. Gave us the same power and authority.
Yes,
he did. Look, the world's going to call you all kinds of names, but we need to learn to quit listening.
Amen.
We need to look at what God said about it. He says, Brother Bram said this out of expectancy. Said, I'm getting this right, so is it today. A man or a woman who really tries to live a Christian life and abstain from the things of the world backs off and says they're a fanatic. Every man that tries to trust God, his fellow man will call him a goody-goody or a sissy or something like that. Sissy, I don't judge a man by the calluses in his hand. It's the bag in the knees of his pants, whether he bows and prays or not. Man's not judged by stature, he's judged by character. I see a man that weighed 200 pounds, didn't have an ounce of man in him, ravished a woman with a baby in her arms. A man's judged by character, what he is inside.
Amen.
There's plenty of men who act strong. There's plenty of men who can be intellectually strong and everything else. But at the end of the day, if you can't humble yourself to the Word of God, you're nothing than more than a wild beast. Why? Because you go back to your other daddy.
Yeah.
And he was a beast.
Amen.
Amen. But I think it's a Proverbs 25:28 says, he that hath no rule over his spirit is like a city without walls, broken down.
Sure.
Think of that for, I can bench 500 pounds. I can win any argument with every, I'm a mighty man. I can get nations to do what I want to. But you still go out there and commit adultery? Why can't you control your own spirit? Because it's the worst thing you could. That's the worst problem you could have.
Right.
And there ain't no man been able to do it except Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Even when men came that the Bible could clearly say were after God's own heart, when it came to the end of the day, they needed a redeemer. Because he saw one pretty lady, and what one pretty woman did, Goliath couldn't do.
Right.
What is power? What is even the devil's power? We think the devil, look, that don't work. What does the devil do? Is his power is his deception. His power is his ability to hide himself. And I'll tell you right now, if you're trying to use this little thing in here between these two ears, you're done for. Because he can outwit any of us. And he has. Every time we've tried to tackle something on our own. Why? Because God, I'm strong. I can handle this trial, Lord. Don't need your help this time. And we try to burrow right in there, all gonna, I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna do that, I'm gonna pray all the time, I'm gonna fast every day, I don't care no more. And before you know it, you just backslid.
Right.
Because you went on fighting without him.
Right.
When David met Goliath, he didn't say nothing about his stone throwing skills.
That's right.
He said, I come to you in the name of the Lord God of Israel. And it's in His name you're going to fall at my feet today. And I'm going to cut your head off. That's right. Praise the Lord. What happens is many people think they're strong. Many people think they understand God's power. But the real power of God is your ability to humble yourself to just do what the Word said. It doesn't matter how dumb you look. It doesn't matter how ridiculous it sounds. It don't matter what doctors told you. It don't matter what this spiritual brother said or whatever. If it ain't the Word of God, you need to humble yourself and say, brother, I love you. Doctor, thanks for your help. But the Lord done told me that you can't help me. Only He can.
Amen.
And you're trying to give me this heart condition. You're trying to give me high blood pressure. You're trying to tell me my back ain't never going to work again. But I'm sorry, I got a maker who made me the first time, and He's able to remake me again.
Amen.
And He said He bare my infirmities. He knows what I'm going through, and He's going to heal me.
Amen.
He's already paid for it. I ain't got a way. I'm just waiting for the check to clear.
Amen.
Money's in the account. That's right.
Amen.
There was a time God came to a man, and I'll just paraphrase it for time's sake. It was Naaman. He was a mighty general at the time. I can't remember what company now, but Syria, that's right. Naaman, he was a general in Syria. It was a man that thought he had power. It was a man who thought he knew what authority was all about. It was just like the Roman centurion says, I tell a man, go when he goes. I tell this to happen and it happens. And they identified that as power, but they didn't understand. You need a character behind that.
Yeah.
And Naaman didn't have it.
Right.
Naaman did it selfishly. That's right. That Roman centurion recognized Jesus trying to help somebody else. That's right. I want that authority in my life. I want to be able to humble myself. I don't care if I look like a fool. If it helps you, I'm doing it.
Right.
That's right. Amen. Look, we're all in this together anyways. Might as well just give it up. If you're ashamed of me, I'm ashamed of you. And that includes your brothers and sisters.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Even when they're wrong, well, have a grace about it. That's for sure. Because guess what? You've been wrong too. And you're still trusting in the grace of God, aren't you?
Amen.
Now it's that man that can't humble himself to say, you know what, maybe I am wrong. That's the man that you might as well just turn around and walk away and just quit worrying about it.
Yep.
That's true. Why? Because it's like we read there earlier. They look at you and they think you're foolish.
Yeah.
So how? If I think you're dumb, all right, I'm going to have to be real carnal here for a minute. Do you think I take any suggestions, Harley, from any student about how to do my math problems?
No.
You know why? Because I know what I'm talking about. I've experienced it. And sure, if you find 2 plus 3 and I put a 6, I will humble myself and say that is incorrect. It is 5. No problems with that if I actually know what I'm talking about. But if I identify that I'm always perfect, I'm always right, I'm always this, I'm always that, then I'm going to get nowhere. And I hope you're applying it to the kingdom now. You might say something and then look in the Word and realize, no, that ain't exactly right. That ain't what God said about it. And I'm sorry, but you're right. Praise the Lord. And if you can find somebody like that, you can work with them. But what about a stood up there and said, what are you talking about, boy? Don't you know I'm a math teacher? Don't you know I went to school for so many years to do this? I even got my master's. Don't you know Brother Branham ordained me? Don't you know how long I've been preaching? Don't you know what miracles happen? Well, that's fine, but you're wrong this time. Because what you said wasn't the Word. Naaman came, and we understand Naaman was a leper. Naaman had a disease that he couldn't help himself. All his power didn't amount for nothing when it came to real warfare. Oh my, he could take over nations, he could command armies and wipe out all the enemy. But when it came down to sin, he had no answer. Remember, leprosy is a type of sin. That's what it is. And the sin that was in his life, he could do nothing about. So what happened? They heard a rumor. There's a prophet in Israel, somebody said. I don't know nothing about it, but I know one day he'll get you healed. That's right. I don't know about that church. I don't know about this service here or nothing else. But I'll tell you what, you want somebody to pray for you, go down there. And he came to the nominal king, as we understand, the one who identified with Christianity but really didn't live it, you know. Well, Brother Branham said, I'm prophet, but, you know, I still got it. Yeah, it's fine. You know, we can still skip church for this. No big deal. Yeah. It's fine. I know what Brother Branham, you know, that was the quote coming trying to hit you, and you just dodged it. Yeah. Let it hit the other brother, right? It's for them, it's for them, it's for them, oh Lord. And man, they need a lot of prayer. That's the way a lot of people think. And if you ain't careful, devil gets you think that way. Just the time you start going up without the Lord, you're heading down faster than a rock in the ocean. That's right. But the lower you can get, the lower you can get out of the picture, the more you can humble yourself, the more you can do what Naaman eventually did, which was humble himself and say, well, the prophet told me. He said, look, the prophet can get me healed. And the king got all worried about it and everything else. Just a little side note, just to let you know. They did a study on, I heard it on the radio anyway, so if it's true, it's not, I guess, whatever. But nominal Christianity is compared to those that actually, you know, serve the Lord. And then those in the world. They did one about marriage and things and what's the best case and what isn't. You know what the worst one is? The nominal Christian. He said even the people that don't serve the Lord, they have a better record than the nominal Christian does. You know why? Because a nominal Christian doesn't have an experience, but he has this hope that he can do whatever he wants and God will forgive him. The person in the world at least has their own conscience to say, you know what, this might be wrong. And they don't go on, they're trying, this is all they got to live for, is that they're an atheist, this is it. So, you know, at the end of the day, I got to weigh this out and realize, well, if I do commit adultery, this, even financially anymore, this ain't going to work out. I might as well just stay with my wife. And the worst case is the make-believer. That's what I'm trying to say. It's either be a believer or just go out in the world. That's right. Because here's Naaman, he's on the fence right now. The prophet came and he said, all you got to do. One little commandment here. See that muddy Jordan over there? Not one, two. No, you got to dip seven times. That's right. You dip seven times, you won't have leprosy no more. Get baptized in Jesus Christ's name, repent of your sins, you get the Holy Ghost. Oh, man, I want to do everything but that. Don't make me repent. I'll pay tithes. I'll give you 20%. Just don't make me repent. Amen. All right, listen now. And it came to pass, this is 2 Kings 5:7. Just listen now. When the king of Israel read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, am I God to kill and to make alive? That this man does send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. See how the devil just gets you all messed up. And it was so when Elisha, the man of God, had heard. Lord Jesus, that's all I want to hear. I want to hear a man of God. That's right. You can call me any title you want. I want the Lord to be able to say, that's a man of God right there. And that's the thing, when the man of God heard, something changed. When the nominal Christian heard, things got worse. He got everyone all nervous. Can't you tell? He's not trying to get a servant healed, he's trying to kill us all. Somebody come and bring in a real word, and you get some nominal person, they get all nervous and shaking in their boots. They're trying to take down our church and hurt our fellowship. If it's the word, it needs broke. I'm done compromising, even in my thoughts about this. No, you say the word. You stay on the Word. You can't get your feelings involved, because if the feelings aren't in the Word, they're wrong. Amen. That's what got it, this whole ball of sin rolling in the first place. Amen. That's right. Well, you know, I think maybe that, no, just devil, shut up. Leave. Right. Amen. Now, the devil knew he couldn't do nothing with Elijah, because Elijah knew how to hear from God. Amen. And Elijah said, don't worry about it. I done heard from the Master anyway. So let me tell you what he had to say. He said, it was when Elijah, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and his chariots and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. Excuse me, I might have said Elijah, but I meant Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan seven times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth. And went away and said, behold, I thought. So that's the first thing. You start saying, I thought, instead of what the Word said, you're done. It's over. Behold, I thought, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hands over the place and recover the leper. That's what I heard power was. That's what they taught me in the seminaries. That's how they said Paul healed the sick. And you keep doing that, you get a bunch of Hollywood evangelism, you get a little mental workup, but the cancer going to kill them. That's right. Sin's just going to take them right down where it's going because you're sitting there paddling with an imaginary oar.
Yeah.
And all you're doing is painting a picture around you on your boat that you're not going down the waterfall, but it's just an illusion. You're heading right down the same path still. Yeah. Amen. But I appreciate it. I'm just paraphrasing now. The servant came to him and said, look, how about we just try it?
Sure.
Let's just try it. Come on, don't get all mad. You know, if he'd have told you to do some great thing, some powerful thing, you would have done it gladly. Don't you want to get healed?
Right.
Finally, he humbled himself, and guess what? He did get healed. And I like how Brother Branham illustrates it. I just listened to this, Perseverance, 1963. Listen now. Now, did you notice people, they want to get this, get healed, and get the Holy Spirit the way they think they ought to have it. Now, I'll come down, brother, and if you'll bring me up and take me in a room where nobody will see me, and lay your hands upon me and bless me and put the Holy Ghost in me, I'll accept it. Oh, no, no. Naaman wanted to accept his healing like that one time, but Elijah told him to get out there in the old muddy Jordan and dip seven times. I can just see him get off his chariot, oh, a great man, hold his nose. Here he'd come out in the water tiptoeing like a cat in molasses, you know. Coming out there, you know, getting on like that, get down in the water. Said, oh, I hate to do this, hold down. And down here, some people come to the altar like it was a sickening affair for them.
Yeah, exactly.
Act the same. Well, I guess I'll go get prayed for. Oh, good luck getting healed with that. Yeah, oh, I don't want to do this. He dunked one time. And I still got leprosy? Prophet said seven times. Right. Until he obeyed the word completely, until you obey it completely. He had a good man standing on the bank, said, the prophet said seven times, Father. See, just keep on dipping. That's it. You don't get it the first night, just dip again the next night. Just keep on until you get it.
Amen.
Amen. And that's the Bible too. Look, there's a perseverance when somebody's intact with the real power of God. They can endure. They can handle the criticism. They can handle the trial. They can dip all seven times.
Amen.
That's right. Naaman is not a model example for a believer. Let's put it that way. You should not have to go through that. What should have happened was, praise the Lord, I'm getting healed today. Let's bring down everyone we can so they can come see God do a miracle. I'm going to jump in that water so fast. You won't, yeah, just dunk back and up and down like a springboard, you know. That's the way I would have been about it. And you say, really? I identify with the word. I don't identify as an unbeliever. I identify as a believer. That's right, just like the eunuch. He had the same case come to him. He got talking to Philip for a little while and realized he needed a Savior.
Sure.
He realized he was just as leprous as Naaman was spiritually.
Right.
And he said he got, you know, Philip done talked to him. He had talked about baptism, getting the Holy Ghost and everything because all of a sudden he saw some water.
Yeah.
He said, wait a minute. You tell me I get this too? Yeah, you can. Eunuch. Well, then what's hindering me? Let's do it.
Right. Amen.
And I sometimes, brother, and don't make this critical now, but sometimes the way somebody approaches their baptism tells me what they really mean by it. Some people go with a bunch of hoorah, and everybody in the county's got to know, and we're going to raise the banners. And it's all right if people come see you. Support that, of course. But when you make it a big production, I don't know, brother, sister. I don't know. Sounds like you're trying to make it powerful like the world sees it. Like a birthday party or something. That ain't what we're going there for. That's why we don't get nothing half time. A lot of people come, dry sinners, walk out, wet sinners. That's right. Baptism don't save a man. He's got to believe first. Really, he should have the Holy Ghost before he gets baptized. That's right. It's all right if you get it afterwards, but don't go unbelieving. You need to be a believer. As Jesus said, the seed was thrown out in the field. And sure, there were some hit good ground. There were some that were just plucked up right away. But where's the most depressing one? There's the one that fell on stony ground. That said, anon, man, they received it with joy.
Amen.
Said, just sprung up, man. It was just going all over.
Yeah.
So then after a while, you know what happened? No endurance.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just this Saturday. It was persecution, tribulations for the word's sake. People start coming and asking you questions and you realize, I don't always have the answer. You know what? You don't have the answer. God has the answer.
Amen.
But we need an absolute, like Jesus said. How can good and bad fruit come from the same tree? So if you can identify, many people need to do this. Lord, they come and they have a mighty service. They have a devil on them. And you know what? This is the only church they get healed in. But for some reason, we ain't preaching it right. Why in your other church, if they're preaching it so well, why aren't they getting you healed? Oh, Brother Andrew, you're getting all stuck up. No, that's just the truth.
Amen.
If the works don't follow the Word, you ain't got the Word.
Amen.
You might have a good theology and everything else, but you ain't got no power of God. Because the power of God always shows up.
Amen.
Yes, it does. God don't put up with Satan. No, He don't. Why did Jesus let the devil do what He did? Was for you and me. Because after His resurrection, you show me where Satan pushed Him around. You show me when he was tempted. The devil, no, and I done got whipped. I'm staying away from that guy. And he'll do the same today for the believer that can still recognize that the Bible declares Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if I've received the Holy Ghost, the same man is in me. I can look a devil right in the face and say, hold your peace. Come out. Too many times people pray out devils. You wonder why they don't leave. You don't pray them out, you command them. How can you do that if you don't believe what you're talking about?
Sure.
What is really power with God? It's faith in the Word.
Amen.
Let's just bring it right down. It's faith in the Word. Every time you find somebody that's identified as being a powerful believer, it's because they put their faith in the Word.
Amen.
How do you know they put their faith in the Word? Because when the trials and tribulations came, they held their ground.
Amen.
They didn't get all plugged up and dried up. They stood firm on the Word. Here come Jacob, as we understand. Jacob was at his rope's end, but the whole time God knew Jacob's a believer. I know he's a believer. He believes this Word with everything's in him.
Amen.
And sure, he's made a wreck of his life, but I'm coming after him tonight.
Amen.
That's right. And when he got down praying, made his bed a bunch of rocks in the hillside somewhere all by himself, that's a good place to find God. That's right. That's where you find the power of God. That's where he had dreamt before, and there was a ladder going to heaven back and forth. Hallelujah. And a man showed up and he said, you know what? I got to wrestle this guy. I got to get my blessing today.
Amen.
And you know what began to happen? He began to win. He began to prevail. How can a man prevail against God? Because it's a man that really has power.
Yes.
We all know if you get a group of guys fighting, you know who you got to beat? I don't care if there's 10 of them. You know who you need to beat? The biggest one. If you can put the biggest guy on the ground, you know what's going to happen? The other nine's going to run away.
That's right.
Because they might think they want to beat you up, but then when they see that punch right in the face, they don't want that. Glory to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Where's that all coming? Point is, if Jacob could out-wrestle God, I think he's in the clear.
Yeah.
He must have some power. That's right. And that's what the Lord told him. He says, thy name shall no more be called Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed.
Yes.
Hallelujah. We think the power of God would have been, you know, doing this big fancy thing. No, what was the real power of God? He come to his conversion.
Yes.
What was the real power of God? I'm staying here till you bless me, Lord. What was a real man of God? It's a man who don't say, well, God, if you give me the Holy Ghost, I guess that's fine, but if not, okay, I'll go on. No, it's the man that says, God, you promised it. You promised it. I've tried to overcome this so many times. I can't do it, but today, this is it. Bless me, Lord, and just bless the Lord down. I need to know I got a name change. We're living in such a late day now, you can't be guessing anything. You got to know where you stand. Amen. Jacob had power of God. We know Jesus did. He told the devils to do what he wanted to. But look, he didn't stop there. He turned to his disciples. It's Luke 9. And he said he gave them power and authority to cast out devils.
Exactly.
In Acts, when they came to finally getting the Holy Ghost, he said, when you receive the Holy Ghost, you'll receive power.
Yeah.
And they all had their idea, didn't they? What power looked like. And I'm sure they had their theological discussions on day 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Had it all painted up. Isn't that right?
Sure.
Just like we got it. We got the seven trumpets, how that's happening. We got the vials over here and everything else that Brother Branham never really bothered with because it's not for us anyways. Well, we got it all painted out. We know exactly how it's going to happen. When the resurrection comes, we'll just throw all that in trash like we needed to and say, praise God, we're going home.
Amen.
Just like these ones did when the Holy Ghost finally did fall on the 10th day. They didn't worry about nothing else. They said, nope, this is it. We got it now, boys. This is right. But what did the world think?
Amen.
Foolish. Yeah. Bunch of drunkards. But they had something that Peter could say, no, we're not drunk as you suppose. We're drunk in a different way. But we're not drunk the way you suppose. But this is that. That was spoken by the prophet Joel.
Amen.
This was the man that Jesus said, I'll give you the keys
right.
to the kingdom.
Yeah.
Go and lock it to the Jews, Samaritans, and Gentiles.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yes,
praise God. Hallelujah. Say, Lord, help me to believe your word with all my heart.
Amen.
You're going to look foolish. You're going to look dumb. But if you want the real power of God, a man that's got real power of God sheds tears. A man with the real power of God will take rebuke from a sinner even though he's wrong.
Yes, sir.
A man that has power with God will look an enemy in the face and say, I love you.
Yep. Right.
Amen.
That's not powerful, that's weak. Yeah, if you're looking at the world.
Right.
Amen. And sometimes I know it's not easy, but you got to let it go.
Yeah.
Yep.
And say, I'm totally right, I'm totally justified, Lord. But I'm just going to have to let this one go.
Amen.
That's right. And that's where you find out who's really got power with God and who don't. The man that blows up at everything, I don't care how much Christian he says he is, how long he's been in the Message Church, if you don't act like Christ, you're a city without walls. You're run over by the devil every old direction. You can put all the quote signs you want. If you ain't got any walls, they're getting in. Oh my goodness, don't go thinking that. I heard that political, we're going to build one, keep them out. No, don't worry about all that. We're getting out that way.
Yes.
Amen. We don't need about this no more.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Brother Bram says this out in the Absolute, 1963. Enjoying the word tonight.
Amen.
Said a man would let his wife go out and run her all night with some drunk, come in next morning and say, yes, dearie, I hope you had a nice time. You're a poor excuse of a man. Any man would let his wife get out there and wear shorts and these things, old little bathing suits, bikinis, or whatever it is. Lay out amongst these people, I got little hopes of you even being a man. That's right. Man is not measured by how much his biceps are, how big a muscle he is. He is measured by his character. That's exactly right. And character comes from the Word of God, and that alone.
Amen.
And any preacher. But if he's a message preacher, that's different. No, it isn't. We got to even get rid of the whole message idea. We're not here as another denomination. It's any preacher that's going to stand on the true word of God, which God told us he sent a prophet.
Amen.
That's why we stand on it. Amen. And any preacher that claims to be a preacher, deny that word, it's little character of God there to me.
Right.
Amen. And there's times, you know what, people get the other side of this, that, oh, that guy's just so mean all the time. All he does is rebuke us of our sin every day. And you know what, if the man of God's telling you a word, he ain't being mean. He's not picking on you. He's doing what he's called to do.
Yeah.
That's right. So don't go on the other side. We got to baby everybody all the time and act like it's okay to be in sin. Ain't going to be no problems. No, you're going to have problems. And it's going to wreck your life. And a man of God that cares at all about you will tell you before you ruin your life.
Amen.
Amen. If he don't, you don't want him preaching. Because there ain't no character of God there. There's no faith to say, Lord, I know the only thing that can help them is to tear their hide off today, but Lord, I'll do it. If you're a father and you're too scared to spank your kid, you're a poor excuse of a father.
Amen.
Any man that makes a woman do it or makes a babysitter do it all stuff, you would run that guy out, but for some reason we don't think about it with us.
Right. Amen.
Hallelujah. If you're doing wrong, of course the minister's going to get on you.
Right.
You say, well, he knows about it. Most time they don't. Devil done gave you a lie and you believed it and sucked it down and you can't wonder why you don't have any power with God.
Amen.
That's because you think the man's still the gift instead of what the Bible said.
Right.
You still think the man is pushing you around when the Bible says God set in the church.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
The trial of faith that we go through every day as Christians proves whether we got the power of God or not. And it won't be this big show. Brother Branham already done told us that. And yet we still paint it that way.
That's right. Amen.
Look, and first, we got to understand some things. No, there's not going to be sweeping millions of numbers coming in. No. But that don't mean we ain't going to find any. Well, we can't have this big show. Well, I don't care if you're a believer. You get healed today. That's right. If you're a believer, we didn't lose none of the promises of God. We actually had all of them unlocked. We've had every power and every access God ever gave the church has been given to the bride in the end time.
Amen.
That's true.
Will the world see it? No. They had their chance. They still have their chance. We had our chance. Praise God. We heard it and believed it and accepted it. That's right. I thank God for this message. I thank God for tapes. I can turn on and hear the power of God again. And what does it do? It doesn't lay there dead. I don't sit there and just worship it and bow down before it. I say, God, you were God then. You're God now.
Amen.
Take that promise of God and stay in the trial of faith.
Yes, sir.
Let me show you somebody that was really powerful as I close. I got this out of Perseverance, 1963. But let's go in the Bible. I want to show you where I'm coming from. Matthew 15. This is a case that you would, by any worldly standard, never think this woman was powerful. But yet watch the power of God work in this person. Matthew 15, and I'm going to close on this thought. Thank the Lord. I feel mighty good right now, aren't you? I love the power of God. You say, power of God, yeah, it gives you strength just preaching sometimes. Sometimes people think I might be rude, but I'm in the office because halftime I'm recuperating. Because, you know, Brother Bram said it's not being up here and it's not down here. It's when you, that's what wears you out. Hallelujah. Matthew 15 and 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed unto the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of such coast, the same coast, and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. Pastor never took my call. Didn't respond my text message. Or my email or my Facebook or what. Come on now, why we all get so quiet? That's the same thing. Except this is in person. Okay, this woman's right here asking him a question. And he just sat there. I'm telling you, a woman with real power with God. Watch this now. That wasn't enough, but he answered her not a word. And his disciples came, even the church people got involved, and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. Get this person out. Can't you see? Why do they still got pants on? Get him out of here. Somebody's going to think. You see the way they disrupted the service? They don't know no better. Now, if you do it, I'm going to tell you. You all been here enough times. That's right. Somebody comes in here, don't know. You know, we had a minute or a couple guests here not too long ago, and they got talking a little bit and stuff. You know what? Come another time, I tell them. That's right. You say, oh, you can't do it. Well, brother, there's a little grace involved here. Or you can be these disciples and say, get out of here. Messing up our program. That ain't how we have church. Even church order, brother, sister, just to let you know, is the way God wants it. There's times we have to just lay out and say, Lord, have your way now, because I don't know what to do.
Amen.
We all been there. I'm just going to bring it right on home. We've had times this pulpit fell over and didn't know what was going to happen.
Yep.
That's right.
Yep.
We had times when somebody threw up right in the service.
Yep.
I don't know. Most of you were here. I don't know that night. There wasn't a lot of people I think that might have happened twice, actually. There was one time before we had a carpet that happened, and Dad went and mopped it up, and we just kept singing stuff. You be the preacher and let that happen. These are some of my students coming I'm trying to witness to, and this is what happens in the church. Praise the Lord. That's right. We're getting nowhere fast, but I'm praying we stay right in the Word. That's right. As long as I'm in the Word, I don't need to go fast. I don't need to go slow. I just need to stay put. Amen. All right, so first, Jesus doesn't answer a word. Then the disciples tell her to get. But he answered and said, when he finally did talk, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I don't got nothing to do with you, woman.
Right.
What do most believers do? Well, you're just not going to get healed. I'll leave now. Oh, doctor, didn't you? You know, pray for a good report. What if it's bad?
Yeah.
What are you going to do then? Well, I guess I'm not healed today. Guess God don't love me. And then you're going to be sicker than you ever were. But see, this woman had power with God. This woman had a real faith in the Word. And the Word was sitting there. And she wasn't going nowhere till that Word gave her her heart's desire.
Amen.
Said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped Him, saying, Lord, help me. Three trials already in a matter of minutes, probably. But He answered and said, when He finally talked again, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. You can't call me a sinner. I'm a good person. I gave to that charity one time that gave a dollar at the bucket at Walmart. I'm a good person. I don't care that I cheat and steal and lie every day and take everybody else's money. I'm a good person. No, you don't take the children's meat and give it to dogs. That's the way most people think. He called her a dog. We think, oh, a dog's nice, cute little animal. No, we're talking real dogs. Dogs are dirty, nasty, scrummy things that go around in packs and just kill stuff. That's what dogs are. And He says, you're a dog. He says, I'm not talking to you. I ain't got nothing to do with you. My disciples trying to kick you out. What are you still doing here? See, now does it make more sense why He thought so much of this woman? Look at this power she has to say, no, no, the Word's right. The Word, this man is the only one that can help me, and I ain't going nowhere until He blesses me. But whatever He says, she didn't fight it. She accepted it. Sometimes people want to get healed, and you know what the problem is? They need to get saved.
Right.
I felt that come up before when somebody came up to get prayed for. They wanted, oh, Lord, you know, I just need to get healed and blah, blah. And I said, look, that ain't your problem. You need to give your heart to the Lord. You know, if you blow up like a bullfrog, you ain't getting healed either, so you might as well just go sit down. That's right. But this woman didn't do that. What does she say? We'll finish this out right here. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Amen. When people make excuses about the church and what people said and everything, I like them to go read this story. And say, tell Jesus He ain't acting like Jesus for me. Go tell Him that He ain't allowed to call people dogs. I heard a message, well, you ain't messaging her now, but I've heard one say, did Jesus call her a dog? Yes. Would I have called her a dog? Well, no, but Jesus did. You had no business in the pulpit. That's right. There ain't no character God that. You a spineless, no good baby. Get off. Get out of here. I ain't going to call that no man of God. A man of God says Jesus called her a dog. Because you know what? That's what she was. And you know what Jesus called me when I met Him? A sinner. A rank, dirty, nasty, rotten sinner. And you know what I said? Truth, Lord.
Amen.
But I read in the Word, you're my Redeemer. I read in the Word that you took my place and you said if I repent, you'd come and accept me back into the kingdom and give me the Holy Ghost. And I'm here and I'm going to get it.
Amen.
And you know what? I did.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Every believer needs to have the same testimony.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Out of perseverance as I close, she arrived at Jesus. She'll perhaps maybe, if she didn't have that kind of faith, the first discouragement after finding Jesus, why? She would have blown up and went back. But you see, faith won't do that. Faith won't turn it loose. Faith is persistent. It holds right on. Now watch. She had all confidence and faith in this man. Now if she had just been mocking or saying, I'm going to go down and give it a try. I'll see what He's got to say. If He says something against our creeds, we'll just leave. That's all. But she come to get something. And she was determined to stay there till she got it. There you are. That's the person. Skipping down a little bit, He talks now to the believer. He says, you fight every inch of the way. God down in Egypt gave Palestine to the Jews, but they fought every inch of the way. God told Joshua, everywhere the soles of your feet rest, that have I given you.
Right.
Footsteps meant victory, possession, and just as far as you can climb into the kingdom of God. If you just want to climb a little piece, say, well, I believe I may not have to go to hell, but I believe that I'll be saved at the end if I join church. You ain't got much ground yet.
Right.
But every promise in the Bible
is yours, but you'll have to fight every devil guard away from it with the two-edged sword of the word and claim it for yourself. Be persistent, walking right into it. This woman, all she had really was a revelation in her heart. She had a revelation that if I get to that man, my daughter will be healed. She had no signs to believe that. She had no word to believe that. And here we are with all the signs and all the word, and we doubt it still. Brother, sister, repent of that. We've got so much authority given to us by God, if we'll just humble ourselves and not turn it loose. My goodness, I watch people ask for healing, and the first little pain they got, they complain, they moan, they cry, and they get worse and worse and worse. Lord will come sometimes, and here's the other thing. We don't like His answer sometimes. Lord, recover me. We'll take some figs and put it on here. I wanted to use that money for video games. I wanted to go to get a Big Mac. I don't want to spend on something I need. Well, be a man. Be responsible. Humble yourself and say, you know what? Maybe I'm a glutton. Maybe God's trying to deliver me of that, and I need to use that money for the kingdom. Lord, let this miracle come. Amen. You can apply that all kinds of ways. But I think you get the point. A man of God that's got real power, he will humble himself.
Amen.
Say the word's always right.
Amen.
The word's always right. You say, well, circumstance don't look like it. Doesn't matter. Discouragement doesn't matter. I don't care if every message preacher in the world treats you like dirt, don't believe anything, just lies and cheats and steals and everything else. It don't matter. This message's still right. That's right. It don't matter all the discouragements. God allows them to come to see if you'll persevere.
Amen.
And you know what we found out in this end time? A lot of people were bluffing.
Sure.
A lot of people thought they had something, didn't have nothing. Because here come a little trial and a big trial. It don't matter if you have genuine faith. As Jesus said, if you've got even a mustard seed, bring on any mountain.
Uh-huh.
It's going to have to move. Amen. Amen. Brother, sister, I love you with all my heart, and I pray this cut all the unbelief out of us. Because that's really what we're trying to do as ministers, is to get the people away from unbelief back to the faith of God. And I don't care what it is. If you've asked God and it don't seem to happen, I'm going to tell you right now, have you fully obeyed?
Amen. Amen.
Has He brought it to you? Say, well, that's just that person picking on me. Brother, sister, you be careful. If you identified it in the Word and recognize you're not towing to that line, don't go looking at some other believer. Don't find somebody less spiritual and say, well, at least I'm not that guy.
All right.
Say, Lord, You revealed this to me.
Amen.
And I can't be blessed till I obey.
That's right.
That's right. But aren't you glad there's something on the inside? There's a chain of love there.
Hallelujah.
That's Amen. Really what that'll get you to overcome, where you say, Lord, thank You for showing me that.
Amen.
Thank You, Lord. Now I can get delivered. Now I can stop living a lie and I can live true to Your word. I didn't know what it was before. I thought I did. I found out I was wrong, but praise God, You showed it to me.
And
I'm more than happy to do it.
That's right.
I'll throw, so many people got their own testimony and they've made an altar. They made an idol out of that.
Sure.
Yep. And you know what? If you worship that, God will show you. You didn't have one. Your only testimony is what He has of you. Not what you came up with. What He has of you. And Lord, that's what I want. Every idol, every unbelief, I want it gone. I want to know that I've got real power with God.
Amen.
Power that moves God. Just think about it. Down from the heavens to a little spot in Northwest Ohio.
Amen.
So they can come get my son. Come get my daughter. Come watch this brother and sister get healed. Amen. That's real power. And the believer, we're packing so much of it. Brother Bram said, if you needed to, you go speak a world into existence and go live on it. Don't tell me God's weak. He ain't weak. God is so powerful, but yet He's so humble. If you ain't careful, you'll push Him over. Glory to God. Let's stand before Him tonight. I pray, Lord, bless you. Thank You, Lord. Thank the Lord for His word. Thank Him for His grace and mercy to us. Amen. You got assurance tonight? Amen. That's really what we're preaching on, is the believer find his assurance in Christ. Not insurance, assurance. I know in whom I believe. 176, if you don't know it. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Hallelujah. I think that's C, Dad, if you're there as well. You're going to have to help me tonight. Blessed
assurance, Jesus is mine.
off.
Purchased.
Believe it, child of God. He paid for you. Thank you, Lord.
Born of His Spirit.
Sing this with all your heart. Say, Lord, that's my testimony tonight. Yes, Lord.
Oh, this is my story. This is my song. I'm praising my Savior.
Perfect submission, perfect delight. Thank the Lord.
At perfect submission.
Worship Him now.
His shine. Perfect delight.
Visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Yes, Lord.
Oh, visions of rapture now burst on
put yourself there now. Angels descending. Bring from above.
Angels descend.
And they're here tonight.
Oh, bring from above.
Echoes of mercy, whispers of love.
Oh, echoes of mercy.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
And whispers of
all is at rest.
At perfect submission, all is at rest.
I and my Savior are happy and blessed. Yes, Lord.
I and my Savior.
Praise your name tonight, Lord.
This is
chorus song. Oh, let's just take a moment. Just worship Him your own way. Just love on the Lord Jesus. Wherever you find yourself, brother, sister, I pray you've heard from Him. Not only have you heard where you are, but you've heard how to get where you need to be. Receive the word for yourself, brother, sister. God gave you the Holy Ghost to lead you into all truth. You've watched the Lord lead me all kinds of directions for each person that's in this place. Hallelujah. Just accept it with all your heart. Perfect submission. What does that mean? I give it all up, Lord. I give it all up. So here's what you got to believe, brother, sister. That down on the inside of you, you're a child of God. You're a son or daughter of the King. And if you look at any sculptor, so we worship and thank you. Hallelujah. Any sculptor, what do they say? They got a big stone. They got a big block of wood. And they're going to make it into a masterpiece. And everybody asks them, how do you do it? What do you do? All I do is take away everything that don't look like it. And God, remember, you've got to have faith that down on the inside of me, Lord, you put yourself in there. You gave me a seed of God. And that's not just a dead statue. That's a living statue. That's something that can grow. That's something that can mature. That's something that can look just like my Savior. And Lord, you might have sent your word tonight and found some blemishes. But Lord, all you're doing is cutting off what don't look like you. And Lord, I want to look just like you. I want everybody to know that Jesus Christ is living in my soul. I don't want to create no stumbling blocks. I don't want to disappoint you, Lord. I don't want to disappoint the children of God. I want to do what's right. And Lord, you sent your word. If the ministers cut you up, brother, sister, it ain't because of me. It's because God loves you. And He don't want that on you. Accept it with all your heart. Say, thank you, Lord. Take it, Father. Don't worship it now. Don't keep it attached to you. Say, Lord, just take the word. Take the word that's come, just cut it right off. I don't even identify it with it no more. I'm not that man. It's brother, sister, if the devil keeps telling you you're just too lazy, don't believe that. Say, no, that ain't true, because I got to do what the word says, so I can't be that lazy. You're just a glutton. You can't help it, brother. No, I ain't that way, because the Lord don't want me to be like that. I can be delivered. I'm just too distracted. I'm just this. I'm just that. Don't identify with none of that tonight. Identify with what the word said about you. Hallelujah. What did He say about a believer? Greater is He that's in you than anything that's in the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Keep seeking Him now. Keep getting free. You're looking for the power of God, and as we've explained, it's here now. This is what we're talking about. The word getting into a person that knows how to repent. Knows how to get right. Hallelujah. Devil come and try to give you an excuse and you're able to cast him down. That's the power of God. That says, Lord, thank you for it. I'm free. Hallelujah. 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 And Lord, I'm not just here. I'm not just begging. I know where I stand. If I got to wrestle, Lord, that's all right. It's your promise. Lord, I'm here for the Master Jesus. I'm here to be part of this. Lord, take this vessel, use it for your glory. Use it in my church, use it in my home, use it on my job, use it wherever I am, Lord. Let the real power of God rest upon me. God bless you, saints. I just love seeing hearts moved by the word. And as we stay in this atmosphere tonight, if you'd like a word of prayer, come forward. I'd be happy to pray with you. Thank the Lord. Is there anyone who want to come? Say, well, I might embarrass myself. Well, you're the worst case you can be. If you had that thought, get up here. That's right. Amen. Amen. Get your request where you're at. Believe the Lord with all your heart. Don't let any doubt come in. Thank the Lord Jesus. Believe with everything when you come. Just put that promise right there. Say, Lord, that's mine. It's your word. Don't let discouragement take you away from it. Even if it sounds like the Lord telling you to run, don't worry. He wants you to still keep coming. It's another time as I go before we pray here. I just like the Spirit to be just right. Jesus came and The disciples didn't know who he was. We started talking about the word and said their hearts burned within them. They just loved it. They couldn't get away from this man. And he acted as if he was going to go on. What was he doing? Waiting the whole time for that one whisper. Master, no, come be with us. And he came with them. What did he do? He gave them revelation. He broke the bread and he recognized Jesus is with us. Hallelujah. And then he vanished and they had peace. They had comfort. If that's what you need tonight, brother, compel him. Say, Lord, thank you. You know what compels him more than anything? Is when you don't feel like praising, you don't feel like thinking, you're sicker than a dog, you still raise your voice, you still raise your hands, you don't let the devil discourage you, you still give God praise, you still tell me, you're a mighty conqueror, Lord, I believe this word with all my heart, I'm going free. And that's what brings God on the scene. Don't doubt him. Hallelujah. Just start praising him for it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, praise his name. I'm going to pray with you now.
Lord Jesus, thank you for this servant of yours. Lord, and we agree in faith. Lord, he's called to be the servant of God, to be used for the kingdom. Lord, you kept your prophet away from all evil. He wouldn't defile himself. Lord, and we pray for protection in this young boy and rebuke all these spirits that tried to influence him in the name of Jesus Christ. May the Holy Ghost rest upon him, Lord, and give him peace and comfort and the real power of God to cast out temptation. How the devil, he is just such a bully coming after a little kid, but we rebuke him in Jesus Christ's name. Satan, you have no power. Leave this child of God alone. We claim it, Lord, and we praise you for it. Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank the Lord. What a rebuke to this world. Even a child can tell when the devil's trying to tempt him. Don't tell me you have to live in sin. Don't tell me you can't overcome. Don't tell me it's too hard. God is greater. God is more powerful. Can you humble yourself up and say, you know what, Lord, I was wrong. I was trying to do this, acting like I'm big sure, acting like I ain't got a problem. Don't ignore your problem. Go at it with the word. Cut it down. Hallelujah. And the Holy Spirit come and witness the little child. Why? That's the greatest in the kingdom right there. That's what Jesus said. He said, can I do that? Yeah, do the same thing. Just admit it. Just come before the Lord and say, yes, Lord. That was me too. But Goliath, you're coming down. Hallelujah. Praise his name. Can you get the victory tonight? I can't do it for you. I can't do something fancy. You're waiting for something Naaman was looking for, and that's why you're not getting it. It's already here. How? The word's come. What's he telling you to do tonight? Praise me anyway. Believe it's already done. Worship like you would if you saw it with your own eyes. Oh, don't tell me you'd see that soul get saved and not even give a shout of praise. Oh, come on now. You say that's fanaticism. You're already a fanatic anyways. Might as well go all the way in. Hallelujah! Oh, I'm feeling good tonight. The devil's exposed all over this place. Satan, I rebuke you in Jesus Christ's name. Leave these people. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Raise your voice to praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I never shouted before. Give it a try one time. Let your soul praise him. Don't worry about a neighbor. Don't worry about the devil. Glory to God in the highest. Praise your name, Lord. We lift you up, Father. Glory to God. Glory to God. Lord, you're seeking the earth looking for those you can work on mightily. Lord, may you find souls here tonight. I say, Lord, you might not send lightning bolts. You might not raise them from the dead. But Lord, I'll take this crumb of your word and I'll believe it with all my heart. I'll take this mustard seed
And Lord, if I don't see it today, it'll be here tomorrow. If I don't see it tomorrow, it'll be here the next day. But I ain't never saying nothing but what you've revealed to me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God in the highest.
It's by faith that I believe.
Worship Him now.
It's by faith that I receive. It's by faith.
Oh, I'll overcome. It's by faith. I see the sun.
Yes, Lord.
It's by faith. By faith that I receive.
Thank you, Lord.
It's by faith I'll overcome. It's by faith.
Yes, Lord, we worship you. We thank you, Jesus, for your faithfulness.
It's by faith that I receive. By faith that I receive, it's by faith,
yes, Lord,
I'll overcome. It's by faith.
Let's give him a wave offering as we sing. Yes, Lord,
it's by faith that I believe. By faith that I receive, it's by faith I'll overcome. It's by faith I'll see the sun.
Thank the Lord. Let's give him a clap of praise. Let's worship him tonight. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise His name. Praise be His name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many appreciates the Lord tonight? How many just feels that effect of the word in your heart? That anchor of faith. Now, brother, sister, hold on to it. Don't never let the devil take it from you. You say discouragement coming? I don't know, probably. But here's the thing. Greater is He that's in me. God revealed it to me. I believe it. I can overcome. We're not going into heaven on the skirt of our tail. We're tromping all over the devil. Hey, man, I think I want to sing. I don't even know what key that is. Greater is He that's in me. Greater is He that's in me.
Greater is He that is in me. Oh, greater is He that is in me. Greater is He that is in me than He that is in the world. Oh, greater is He that is in me. Oh, greater is He that is in me. That is in me than He that is in me.
Oh, sing it with all your heart.
Oh, greater is He that is in me. Greater is He that is in me. Greater is He that is in me than He that is in me.
Sing it again, sing it again.
Greater is He that is in me. Greater is He that is in me. Greater is He that is in me than He that is in me.
Satan's like a roaring lion.
Satan's like a roaring lion, roaming to and fro,
seeking whom he may devour.
Seeking whom he.
The Bible tells us so.
The Bible tells us so.
Many souls have been His.
Many souls has been His prey. To fall in some weak hour.
Listen now.
But God has promised us today His overcoming power.
Yes, Lord.
Greater is He that is in me. Greater is He that is in me. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world.
Oh, yes.
Greater is He that is in me. Greater is He that is in me. Greater is that is in me.
Help me out now. On the day of Pentecost. Thank the Lord.
Now on the day of Pentecost, a rushing mighty wind, it blew into the upper room and baptized all of them.
With a power.
With a power greater than any earthly foe. And I'm so glad I got it too. I'm gonna let the whole world know.
Yes, Lord.
Greater is He that is in me. Greater is He that is in me. Greater is He that is in me than He that is in me.
Aren't you happy tonight? Thank the Lord.
Greater is He that is in me. Greater is He that is in me. Greater is He that is in me than he that is
in me. Sing it again with all your heart tonight.
Oh, greater is He that is in me. Greater is He that is in me. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world.
Hallelujah.
Greater is He that is in me. Greater is He that is in me.